Your breath is fire, burning on my skin. Your flames consume me, but all I taste is sin. You leave me in a cloud of smoke, and it brings back the pain. Ooh, your love's like whiskey, it all burns the same.
What's up, guys? It's Donald with Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Excited. Got a, well, I got a guest, but I'm not going to introduce you yet. Stay right there. I want to introduce my guest host that you've heard before. If you've been a consistent listener of the show, which I hope you have, it's my boy, Bryant. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Donnie?
Man, if I was doing any better, I just couldn't stand it. So, hey, thanks for sitting in. We got Super Sick McCarty absent. Actually, he may come in last minute, but he had a... he's one of those important business people. And, you know, you always sound important, Bryant, when you go, I have a call. You don't say for what, who, you just go, I have a call. So Super Sick McCarty is on a call right now. Nobody knows what that means. And my guest is, well, Taylor Tomlinson. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. And it's Tomlinson, not Tomlinson, right?
Or Tumblingson or Tumlinson. Yeah, I've got them all.
Nobody ever messes up, right?
Mm-hmm. Never. Right. Never. They always get it right.
So my boy, Bryant, a phenomenal singer, songwriter, artist, he thinks, well, let me take this back. He's going to take credit for introducing us, but that's actually not true. We actually met before.
Yes, actually.
That's
randomly,
right. Randomly. And randomly, it was because I was doing a little in-style country corresponding action at the Nashville Food and Wine Festival, and you were playing.
Yeah, I was filling in, so.
And I totally just cold called you. Yeah. You remember?
Oh, yeah.
I walked up and said, hey, can I interview you?
Well, you had a camera. I was like, come on, bring it on.
So it had nothing to do with me. Yeah, let me tell you something. There is power. There is power in a camera. I'm actually thinking about buying just a fake camera.
Yeah, but that official mic did it too.
I did. Okay, fake camera and a mic. How's that? You can get anybody to do anything.
Or if you have a dog.
Or a baby. Dog, yeah. All right, I get it. Okay, I get it. So take a dog and a baby with a camera and a mic to a dog park. And if you don't meet somebody,
you failed.
You failed a lot of things, I think. So what do you think, Bryant?
I feel like you guys just basically summed up my approach to dating.
How's it working out for you?
Let's move on.
And next. That's about the extent of mine too, Bryant. That's why we get along. I hear you. No, Taylor, thanks for coming on. Awesome artist and from Texas, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Now, are you a Texas country girl or are you more just country girl?
I mean,
it is different.
Is this you my know? Style or my what I like to listen to?
Both. Isn't that the same thing?
Yeah, I guess it could be. It could be.
All right.
I always tell people my mom was a rocker and my dad liked old country, so I'm like a mix in between. I like everything. I love Fleetwood Mac. Mm-hmm. Love it all. But Texas country, I mean, it hits home. It's great. I don't know how you couldn't like it. It's very different from Nashville country.
But. Well, I just bring it up just because I kind of like to bring up some kind of competition. When you go to Texas, because it is a thing, and I didn't really know
world.
It. It is his own world. Circuit. Yep. It's everything. So there is something to it, but I always just ask, not expecting what anybody's going to say.
Yeah.
But tell us your story. I mean, you started at a pretty young age.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I started. So my dad's a musician. And, you know, I grew up listening to him, and he was in band for many, many years, and I would jump on stage with them. One time I just kind of challenged myself that I couldn't learn guitar. He challenged me a little bit as well. But
what do you mean by getting on? Like on stage just to say, hi, I'm the daughter.
No, you're actually on it. We sang that, what was that song? Like Ride Sally Ride. I would sing the little Ride Sally Ride in the background thing. And, I really got into it probably like when I was like 10, 11, 12 years old. It became more than just, you know, jamming in the living room to Shania Twain or whatever was playing. I taught myself to play guitar. You know, he helped me a little bit, taught me a few chords, but you know, I was really determined, and like, you know, there was the finger pain. It was like horrible when you're trying to learn, you have to build the calluses and everything. And I was so young that I almost don't even remember it, but I was just really driven, really determined to be like him and to do what he did. So I would jump on stage so early. It came really naturally to me, I guess. And
right.
Then writing followed and singing. And so it all kind of came together really, really early.
You got that like hardest part out of the way first.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's what I'm thankful for, because now like, I tried to teach myself to play mandolin, and I was, it was just a mess.
No, no, no. You're talking about playing an instrument. I'm talking about getting on stage in front of people. Yeah.
Well, that too.
You know
that
what
too.
I mean?
Like, that too.
How many people like are great talent, but I mean, to get on stage in front of a bunch of people.
I mean,
like,
that's a whole nother story. I mean, it's like, it kind of depends. I always tell people it's weird because, you know, if I play a smaller venue with less people in the room, it's scarier than if I were to play a room full of people.
I'm glad you said that.
It's weird.
I say that all the time. I do some public speaking, and I people don't understand this because it's commonly known, right? That I think public speaking is like the number two.
It's a fear. Huge fear for like everyone.
Right?
Yeah.
Like number one's death, and number two is fear. So some people would rather die, right, than get on stage and publicly speak. But I always say that. But it's easier to speak to thousands than it is to like 10.
Yeah, it's really weird, and a lot of people don't get it, but it's a real thing.
I know, but but you grew up. You started at such a young age, so that's what I mean by like you were. It was home to you.
Yeah, it's
natural. Stage
it's
always
everything
been
I've
home,
always
right?
known. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's
oh, yeah.
awesome. Well, I mean, and it's cool. Those are good memories, right? With you and your dad.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And
I mean,
how much do y'all have in common? Because music is it, right?
Yeah, everything.
For me, it was like football and sports. And
yeah.
You, it's music.
Yeah.
When did you start coming to Nashville?
Well, so there was a guy, Trey Matthews is his name. Him and my mom actually went to high school together, but they never really were friends or acquaintances in high school. We kind of reached out through Facebook when music started getting serious for me. And he was like, you know, come on up. Like, let's record. Let's make an album. Let's come see Nashville. Like, come see what it's really about. You know, if this is what you really want to do. And I made a trip up here and recorded my first two songs that I wrote by myself. You know, they're cheesy now that I look at them, but you know, I had just started, I was young, but it was so cool to come up and really understand. That was my first co-write. He set me up. I wrote with him and a guy named Danny Green, and we wrote the title track to the next album that I recorded later on in high school when I came back. But it was really
so
cool
great.
To come see how different it was versus what I was doing back home, you know, playing in different restaurants and kind of writing by myself. You know, I didn't know anything about co-writing. I had never done it before.
Right.
So it was a new world. It was cool. It was really cool.
Those early days. I will say, because I think everybody wants, honestly, when pursuing a goal or dream, even if it's not music, music is just obviously something that you're doing for other people to listen to.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
a little bit harder. But one of the best pieces of advice I got about just starting anything when it has to do with communicating a message, you do it through music, is that if you're not embarrassed by what you did in 3 months, then you waited too long to start.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But
because most people go, well, I don't want to like put anything out there until I'm good.
Yeah. But I mean, it just goes to show like how far you've come. You can see it for yourself. Other people can see it, you know, and they can feel a part of it.
Right. Well, that's how I overcame that fear of like, well, I don't know if it's really good. What are people going to think if I put this out and it's not good? They're like, if you're not embarrassed in 3 months, then you waited too late anyway.
And you're not trying hard enough.
Right. So and you're not improving, right?
Yeah,
so,
exactly. That's why they say right every single day.
Right.
You know? And you can look back at old pieces of paper you had and you're like, oh gosh, what is that? Like, I mean, but just to see how far you've come. And like I said, for other people to see that, I think that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool,
it is.
Cool part of music.
So what's going on now? How long in Nashville? You've lived here full time.
Yep. For a year.
A whole year.
Yep. I moved here last August. So pretty crazy how quickly that went by.
Hey, don't blink. 5 years would go
no,
by.
No, seriously.
And like, then 10. And then, I'm going to stop there.
It's scary.
Been here a long time. So... Brian, if you want, there you go. And so, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think that's the other thing too, though. If you're not going to enjoy the journey, you're really missing out on probably the biggest part of it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, most of it is the journey.
Yeah.
So are you having fun?
Yeah. I mean, that's like you said, the journey. That's kind of why I took the step. I went to Texas A&M, graduated high school or college. And I'm from a really small town in Texas. And I was like, you know, I don't want to turn around and go back and just be where I was. I want to do something new, and music is everything I've ever known. So why not take a jump? Like, why not, you know, learn about more about music, learn more about life, about myself, find myself. So that's how I got here.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of these stories, but I think one of those things you learn the most besides going, oh wow, everybody's good and really good.
Yeah.
You also learn that, wow, like I have to figure out how to make a living, you know, while I'm pursuing this dream.
Exactly.
Speaking of that, you're working at, well, one of my favorite establishments. feel like I've been, I don't know if it's positive, negative.
The Donald. We discussed the Donald.
Oh, yes. All right. Well, this was before your time.
Hey,
all
not
right.
Everybody has to know what that is.
No. Well, let's just move on. This is not, this show is not about me in that.
You know what?
What?
Maybe it should be. Not this episode specifically, but maybe we just need to have an origin story.
Yeah, we can just ask you questions.
Great. All right. That's, we put that on the maybe things to do list.
But you know what? I will host this and I will specifically come up with all the questions.
Oh, well, gosh. I won't be here.
Well, I will say, yeah, let's do that. And then, of course, I have control on whether it's published or not. So, yeah, absolutely. Let's do that.
So you win.
Yeah, it's a win-win. No, she works at the Tin Roof on the Montbrier Street.
Tin Roof, yep.
Oh, many memories there. Some blurred, but most of them good.
Surprise.
Yeah. Nah, it's a great place. All right, well, I have these like three favorite questions before I have you like set up and... Yeah. You know, play us one of your phenomenal songs. But are you ready for these? We're going to judge you. Oh, I ask these questions to all my guests, and there's really no right or wrong answer other than I really want them to be good.
Okay, cool. No pressure. No pressure.
How you feel about that? All right, good. So, because honestly, I feel like our audience, I have a lot of musicians and people that obviously are pursuing music, but I have a lot that are just pursuing a dream.
Yeah.
Right, in general. And it doesn't necessarily have to be music. Yeah. I just always like to tell musician stories because I do feel like it's a really pure entrepreneurial culture. Yeah. Like creating a product every day like a song, right? And then trying to figure out how to make a living while you're pursuing this
exactly.
dream.
Yeah, exactly. That's
which is huge. So, which is why I feel like all the answers to these questions can help anybody listening. And I'm not in music, but I've learned so much from writers and artists just in general on how to pursue a dream and a goal.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So I don't know if you started. No, I know you didn't because I know you're drinking coffee now, but I know
it's
you
1 o'clock.
I know, yeah, but you're like, it was college when you started coffee.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you started music a lot sooner. Coffee's but knowing what you know now, if you could have coffee or, you know, orange juice, whatever you liked back then, when you were like, hey, music is for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself?
I mean, take in everything and, you know, everything, whether it's music or not. I mean, like you said earlier, don't blink. That freaks me out. You know, thinking how much time has gone by since you know, I started music and just take in everything that you experience, good or bad. Like, I mean, learn from the bad, strive for the good. Honestly, yeah. That's
a great piece of advice. And that, I always had this follow up, knowing you now. And I'm sure you knew yourself then. Do you think you would have listened to yourself?
Probably not. I'm hard-headed.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have. Right. You know, I probably because like, I know, yeah, right.
Right. You think you got, and we'll get to this the next question, because I know we've all gotten advice from people before, especially our parents.
That's
right?
What I was going to say. My mom, you know, always told me, and I was like, yeah, I know. And now I look back, I'm like, Mom, you're right about everything you've ever told me.
The older you get, the more true that is.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yep.
But I still don't think that's an excuse to not obviously seek out and learn. My saying used to be, hey, if somebody can, you know, prevent me from touching a stove that's hot without me having to touch it.
Yeah.
Then, you know, that's good. Sometimes, you know, we do though, right?
Yeah. See, I just wrote a song about that last week with some friends about wanting to learn the hard way. Like, ooh. You know, you don't know until you do it. You want to learn the hard way. And so it was kind of cool perspective.
Yeah.
I wrote it with two guys. So I guess that kind of tells you anything.
Wait, was that the lesson?
I guess
write with two guys.
Maybe.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, that's actually, that take in everything. And it is one of those things where I've heard don't ever, you know, lose the lesson in losing. Because technically, if you think it's a loss at the time, it's really not if you learn a lesson from
it.
It's a win.
Exactly.
But you're right. And so, gosh, if anything, you learn what not to do.
Yeah.
You know, so that's awesome.
And don't let it happen again.
Yeah. Well, you talked about your mom, I guess, and parents, but is there any second question, like the best piece of advice you've ever gotten from someone? It doesn't even necessarily have to be about music, just about life that you've always just kind of held on to. And like, this was the best piece of advice I've ever gotten.
Yeah. So the first time I came to Nashville when I met Trey, you know, he's done a lot for me. When I first moved here, they opened up their home to me and kind of welcomed me, which was really cool. I wouldn't have made that jump without them. But when I was first here and I got accepted to Belmont, when I was thinking about coming up here earlier than I did, I was really struggling. Like, that's so far away from home. You know, that's 17 hours. Like, what am I going to do? Is this really the right step? He told me, you know, if it were easy, everyone would do it.
Yeah.
And I've heard that before, but just in that situation, the way he said it, I'll never forget that. I mean, and that applies to everything.
It really does.
Everything, not just music. And so
it is a great piece of advice. And to give it another perspective, I think we think, people in general, because of, you know, the internet and Google and everything, that everybody has already done everything.
Oh yeah. Cause you know what I mean? Flashy lives on social media. It can
give us that, oh, I'm too late. Too many people are doing it.
Yeah.
But the crazy part about it is that you want it to be hard. Cause if it wasn't hard, everybody would be doing it, and you really wouldn't ever stand out, or you definitely probably wouldn't get paid for it.
Yeah, you wouldn't accomplish anything.
Right.
Personally.
Yeah. So, but because everybody's doing so much, it's still not to say, oh, well, you're too late. I think that the cream of the crop always just rises to the top, right? And well, that is...
Especially it, here.
Yeah, right?
I mean...
So, that's a great perspective. Because you're right. Sometimes it does feel like everybody's doing it, but really how many have tried and they just said, yeah, not for me.
Yeah,
I mean, it's definitely weed out a lot of people too.
Exactly.
That's awesome. All right. My favorite question, or it's really more of a statement, I guess.
Oh no.
Bryant, feel free to jump in anytime on these, but I probably need to ask Bryant this, but I'll ask you first in this.
Okay.
So Taylor, you have to finish this statement. Donald, if you really knew me though, like if you really knew me, cause I feel like I know you a little bit. But if you really knew me, you would know, and then finish.
Okay. Let me think.
Well, by the way, it doesn't have to be serious. It doesn't have to be sappy or weird, or it could be funny. It can be. There's no rules.
It's pretty funny.
It absolutely has to be serious. The pressure's on.
Oh, yeah. Okay, coming from Bryant, it has to be serious.
He's always.
Well, okay, Donald, if you really knew me.
Oh, see, I like how you restated the statement. That's awesome.
Donald,
thank you.
If you really knew me. You would know that I've had a blankie since I was born, and I proudly sleep with that thing every single night.
To this day.
I vacation with that thing, and my mom has tried to get rid of it for years, and I just refuse. I'm proud. I'm a proud blankie owner.
All right, hold on. So a lot of people make a stand about a lot of things, right?
Hey.
Not many people come here and make a stand for their blankie.
For their blankie. Hey, really knew me.
Listen, I'm okay with that. I have some follow-up questions.
Okay.
What is the attachment to this blankie? What is this? I know it's a sentimental thing, but
I have
why?
No idea. I really don't. I mean, it gets really cold.
Is it superstitious?
Sweetheart,
there are other ways of getting warm, and there are more blankets.
No, I like it. I just sleep on it every night. It's just a habit. It's a thing I can't kick, thing I don't want to kick.
Well, what happens? So you're saying that it's never, like, maybe it got left somewhere, and you can't sleep?
I mean, no. That's
too far. We'll go a little extreme. But
well, when I was younger, yes.
Is it superstitious though?
No.
I mean, do you think it's like, oh gosh,
I told you,
is it a good luck?
And when my dad would take it and throw it in the dryer when I was little as kind of like a punishment, like he would hide it. Like it was very, Oh yeah. So it's not that big of a deal now.
I'm just saying, I think there's some things, there's some layers here, like an onion that we could just start
ashamed.
Peeling back. It's not necessarily that it's a blankie. It's kind of what it represents, all right? I don't mean to be in therapy here.
It's a piece
but,
of home, I guess.
I'm just saying, there's some, I'm not saying that issues always have to be a bad thing. I'm just saying
that
something.
At least we're past the denial part, right?
Yeah, you have admitted it. You have admitted it. No, that's awesome. Okay, well, let's do a follow up in 10 years. If you're still at some point, that blankie's going to disintegrate.
I'm just getting close.
You know what I mean? All good things do come to an end at some point.
I guess that's true.
All right. Well, if you really knew Taylor, if you ever invite Taylor on a trip or want, just know that. That's going to be.
There. Yeah, all right. It's part of it. It's a package deal.
Hey, Super Sigma Carney, are you still on a call?
Hey.
Hold on, baby.
The important
it's Monday.
Super
Sigma. He's got like adult stuff to do.
Well, he has like the earbuds in his ear. You never know if he's still on the phone or not. He's like, buy. Sure. He's like, buy, sell, trade. I don't know what he's doing over there.
It's all for show.
All for show.
None of it's actually real.
Perception is reality. That's awesome.
Hey, good one.
Hey, Kevin. What do you think if you really knew our friend Taylor over here? If you really knew Taylor, what do you think you would know about her?
That she doesn't jump to conclusions quickly, and she's not judgmental.
Okay.
Because when she showed up,
picture the
we were in shambles. She just took it in stride.
We were having technical difficulties, and she was just like, all right, whatever.
I was like, just give
Kevin,
me some coffee.
I would say that is a great assumption. Well, not an assumption. You read her pretty well.
You were really close,
but you were way off. Way off on what she actually said.
Do tell.
If you really knew my friend Taylor over here, you would know that she to this day cannot and will not go without sleeping with her blankie. That's a true statement.
It's not a will not. It's just I would rather.
Well, yeah, it was good knowing you. I'll see you later.
Next.
I'm kidding. I whatever makes you sleep
some
well.
Some people
at
have
night.
Their pillow. I mean,
yeah,
like, yeah. No, I have
of the
a pillow.
Pillow thing. But mine's the cold blankie, not the cold pillow.
So wait, how long have you had this blankie?
Oh, too long. Too long.
Too long?
Too long.
You know, there's an emotional attachment to it. I can't fault her for
no,
it.
No, that's what we're saying. I think there's layers to this. I don't think it's the blanket itself, but I don't want to get into that right now. So I feel like I'm dealing with like my therapy. Own layers. I'm dealing with my own. Who am I to try to figure yours out? All right, so... What do you got, Brad?
All I know is when you go to pick like one sentence as a tagline to sum up the show,
yeah.
It needs to be, I'm a proud blankie owner.
Yeah, the blankie.
Okay.
Maybe that could be a song. I'm sure there's something Ooh. We can work in there.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, I am a walking hook. Stay around me long enough and
you can write
I can't
that
write
one.
A song to save my life, but people say, oh, that's a song. I'm like, yeah, take it. I just won't.
Take it.
I won't 0.5% if it goes anywhere.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I get that line.
Nice. All right. Well, here's what comes to my favorite part before we do this. Well, you set up a song that that you're going to play for us. Can't wait because you have a gorgeous voice.
Thank
you. But tell us about what you're going to play and like how you wrote it or who you wrote it with and why and the story and all that good stuff.
It's an interesting story. It's one of the first songs I wrote. When I moved here, actually, and I had some friends visiting me at Tin Roof, and he was asking me, like, oh, what's your well whiskey? Like, what's this? What's that? And I was like, psh, it all burns the same. Like, you're good.
Yeah.
I was like, that line, it all burns the same. I dig that. So I wrote it down, went home. I wrote it in one night. It's kind of a little made up, a little true. Wrote it by myself, and it's about using someone else's love to heal your past pain.
Mm.
So that's the whole story in itself. Really, it's like I said, kind of made up, kind of true. So
that's really deep.
Some of those things you can figure out.
I'll be honest. I think people can relate to that. I maybe have another term for it. Would that also be a rebound?
Not necessarily, because it's not. You know, it's I don't know. It's not all the things that come with a rebound.
Okay,
it's a little, it's more of your own kind of healing.
All right. Well, I can't wait to hear the song. I have one more statement though. Fireball burns differently.
Yes, okay, that's true. Yeah, see, tequila. I always knew there would be someone who would argue this. See, but tequila isn't whiskey. This is about whiskey.
Yeah. I would say it both burns, all right? But yeah. I'm just
I
saying.
I mean, they burn.
Okay.
They burn. Yeah. Whiskey has that same burn.
All right.
Whether
well,
it's good whiskey or bad whiskey. Different.
I will say this. They make you feel totally different the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. But all right. Well, I can't wait to hear it. So let's tune up and we'll be right back.
Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Taylor Tomlinson and her song, Whiskey Over Wine.
We were just strangers till your eyes met mine. You can feel my pain from across the room. Well, it's that kind of night I choose whiskey over wine, and I make my way to you. I don't know me, I don't do this anymore, but your touch is killing me. The sun will rise and you'll be headed for the door. I'll wake hungover on his memory. Your breath is fire, burning on my skin. Your flames consume me, but all I taste is sin. You leave me in a cloud of smoke and it brings back the pain. Ooh, he loves like whiskey, it all burns the same. Oh, wish I could throw it back like you do. I've gotta chase it down just in case. You know what you're doing when you look my way. You're running that poison through my veins. You put this fire burning on my skin. Your flames consume me, but all I taste is sin. You leave me in a cloud of smoke and it brings back the pain. Ooh, your love's like whiskey, it all burns the same. You breath this fire burning on my skin. Your flames consume me, but all I taste is sin. You leave me in a cloud of smoke and it brings back the pain. Night after night after night. Your breath is fire burning on my skin. Yeah, flames consume me, but all I taste is sin. You leave smoke and it brings back the pain. We love like whiskey, it all burns the same.
Hey, that was pretty good.
Thank you.
What do you think? Well, that big audience.
Hey.
God, you caught me off guard. I was over there recording and yeah, you kind of had me in this trance. I was recording like five different ways, which by the way, I totally forgot to do that, but that was a great song. I love that
song.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Kevin.
I'm back. Better than ever.
Well, as soon as I turn your mic on, you are anyway. Vika, now what are you?
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that. Beautiful.
Thank
you. Beautiful way to start a Monday.
Hey, by the way, you said that's spinning in Texas right now.
Yeah,
right?
It is. On Jalapeno Country. South Texas.
Do we get jalapeno country here?
Yeah, I probably not.
Wait, what?
I'm from South Texas.
I know. Which part?
Corpus Christi area.
Nice.
Portland. If I say Portland, everyone thinks Oregon. So, well, Maine.
I get it.
Jalapeno country.
I like it.
Girl, that was so good.
Thank you. Spicy.
Oh my gosh. I'd like to say, I really kind of want to have you play it again. I was too busy doing other stuff to really, but the only reason I wanted to do that was also record you from that angle too.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.